Word. Lord, we thank you that through your word is one way we can get to know you a bit more, a little bit more about you. Father, we pray this morning as Larry brings us something from Proverbs about your word, that you might help us to be able to understand and to apply it, Lord, in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Steve. And good morning, everybody. This is pretty good. I just found my missing Bible. Anyway, yes, today we're talking about work. Work is a very important theme in the scriptures, but it's also really important in our lives, isn't it? So whether it's paid work or it's volunteer work or it's just the quality of work in anything that you do in your life, gardening or making morning tea or helping a friend shift house or whatever it is, all of us do an awful lot of work over the course of our lives. Now, you all know me as someone who works here for the church. But the reality is, and a lot of you will know this too, the bulk of my working life has been in the blue collar. So I know, as well as any of you here, I know what it's like to work out in the secular world. And therefore, I know firsthand how good biblical wisdom is when it comes to work, and what kind of workers we, as the people of God, should be. Before we dive into Proverbs, though, I thought, if I can get their attention, I would get the kids' help to illustrate just how many different kinds of jobs I've had, because it's a lot. You kids, who knows the game Two Truths and a Lie? You know that game? Most of you do? Okay, we're actually going to play Three Truths and a Lie, so let me explain how this goes. I'm going to put up four things about what I've done in my life and work. Three of them are going to be true, but one of them is going to be a lie. So your job is going to be to put your hand up if you think you know which one is false. So adults can play too. My kids will already know some of the answers to these, so I'm just going to ask everyone not to yell out answers, but to put your hand up and I'll call on you. And we'll see if people can guess what I have and haven't done. For work. So, which of these four is a lie? What equipment have I used at work before? I've used a forklift, I've used a nail gun, I've used a hedge trimmer, and I've used a cash register. What do you think? What do you think, honey? You think I've never used a cash register? Okay, good guess. Roby? Nail gun? Any other guesses? We'll take one more, Nathaniel. Forklift. The answer is nail gun. I've never used a nail gun in my life, actually, but I've driven a forklift. I've done that other stuff. Okay, what work have I done on buildings? I have cleaned floors. I have done roofing. I have installed staircases. And I have installed shelves. What do you think? Helena? Staircases? Who else thinks staircases? Yeah, that's the one. I've never installed a staircase. Believe it or not, I have done roofing. I don't like it at all. I don't like heights very much. I have to stay off of the balcony when I go over to Graham's place. Okay. What have I delivered to people's houses before? I have delivered... You just wait a minute. I have delivered newspapers, I have delivered pizza, I have delivered fish tanks, and I have delivered mail. What did you think, sweetheart? Pizza? You think that's the lie, the one that I haven't done? Okay. Nathaniel? Fish tanks? Is that hand up, Patrick? No? Yes, buddy? Fish tanks is another gift? Actually, I have delivered fish tanks to people's homes when I worked at City Farmers. The one that I haven't done is I haven't been a postman. I haven't delivered mail. So, okay, I've only got a couple more. Which big companies have I worked for? I have worked for McDonald's. I've worked for Adidas. I've worked for Valvoline. I have worked for Avon. Any guesses, Emily? Well, did she say Avon? McDonald's? So you think I've never worked for McDonald's? Okay. Who hasn't guessed yet? We'll take some that have. Addie, you got another guess? McDonald's? Adults, what's your guess on this one? Oh, yes, you, darling. Which one did she say? Avon. Is that what most of the adults think?
Yeah.
Believe it or not, I worked in their call center, their national call center, in Cincinnati, so I have worked for Avon. I have never worked for McDonald's. That's the one. I worked in for Adidas. They opened up a brand new warehouse just south of the river in Cincinnati, and I worked over there for a bit. Actually, I helped put in some of the shelves and stuff. I helped put the place together. And then Valvoline, I used to change oil under cars for a job, so that was a lot of fun. Okay, one more. What stuff have I made at work? I have assembled bird cages. I have painted signs. I have made breadsticks. I helped make parts for military tanks. This is a tricky one. Seth, you think I've never made breadsticks? And, oh, why am I drawing a blank? Corey, isn't it? Yes. D, you think I've never made parts for military tanks? That does sound outlandish, doesn't it? Nathaniel, you think breadsticks as well? And Emily? Breadsticks. Emily's the one that got, which one did she get right? She got the McDonald's one right. That was pretty good. Okay, no, I have actually made breadsticks. I used to work at a pizza place, and so one of the things that we did was make breadsticks there. The one I haven't done is painted any signs. I haven't done. I did make radiators for Australian Defense Force tanks once. Believe it or not. It was just a normal radiator place where we made radiators for cars and things like that, but we did a lot of custom jobs, and that was one of the ones we got. All right, so thank you very much for playing. As you can see, I wasn't kidding about having had a large variety of jobs. I was trying to count up all the jobs that I've had in my life yesterday, and I got somewhere close to 30, but I kept remembering more after I was done with my list. This is about half of my employers. So I also am in a position to say that I meant what I said, that biblical wisdom is useful for work no matter where you work, no matter what kind of job you do. And again, it's not just paid employment. It's anything that you put your hand to that we're really concerned with. Well, what kind of biblical wisdom do I have in mind? As a worker, I've got several principles or mottos that I try to live by. And most of them come from the Bible, including the book of Proverbs. And one of the most important for me is from Proverbs 6. I often tell myself at work, go to the ant. Anybody know that proverb? Go to the ant. What does that mean? Go to the ant. Proverbs chapter 6 says in verses 6 through 8, go to the ant, you sluggard, consider its ways and be wise. Just so the kids know, a sluggard is a lazy person. Consider its ways and be wise. It has no commander, no overseer or ruler, yet it stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. So for me, going to the ant means working hard and working industriously and working faithfully, whether or not the boss is watching. That's important to me. If I have agreed to do a job, then I will do it and I will do it well. That's one of the principles I try to hold myself to. Working hard in general is a very important principle in work. Proverbs 6 continues, how long will you lie there, you sluggard? Will you get up from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come on you like a thief, and scarcity like an armed man. Now, that doesn't mean that you're never allowed to rest. It's all about balance. Rest is actually vital. I mean, remember that Proverbs was wisdom for the people of Israel, who also had the law of Moses, where God not only recommended, but actually commanded that they make sure to have at least one full day of rest in a week. So rest is vital, but it's about balance. And a lot of Proverbs guards us against laziness. And I don't know about you, but that's something I need to be vigilant to guard against. Proverbs 20, verse 4 says, sluggards, do not plow in season, so at harvest time they look but find nothing. Speaking of laziness, one of my absolute favorite mottos for work and favorite proverbs is 18:9. One who is slack in his work is brother to one who destroys. If I can't be bothered to lay the reticulation properly, I might as well be tearing it up. Does that make sense? So this is an attitude I take with me into any job that I do. Hard work means also not giving up when things get tough. When you've got a job to do, you get through it too. So this doesn't have to do with paid work, but Deb and I spent New Year's Day replacing the radiator in her car. And that was not easy because her car has been intentionally designed to be difficult so that you'll take it to the dealership instead of doing it yourself. So there are hose clamps in tricky places, and there are screws and bolts that are hard to find and hard to access. But we stuck to it, and so we saved a fair bit of money by doing that job ourselves. Proverbs 15:19 says, "The way of the sluggard is blocked by thorns, but the path of the upright is a highway." And I think that's because the sluggard leaves the thorns there, while the upright person gets them out of the way. Now, I will confess that when we did that radiator, some of my language that day was not Sunday morning appropriate. But we stuck to it and we got the job done. Hard work means clearing the thorns out of the path sometimes. Working hard is also valuable for another very important aspect of work, which is your team, your relationships with your coworkers and your bosses and supervisors. Proverbs 10:26 says, "As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so are sluggards," there's that word again, "to people who send them." As I work, I always make it my goal to be the guy they can count on. The boss knows that he can trust me. My teammates know that I'm dependable. Another of my favorite proverbs is 27 verse 2, "Let someone else praise you and not your own mouth." Now, how do you do that? How do you let someone else praise you at work? You have to do a good enough job that people notice. No matter what that job is, I don't care if it's something that is high status or if it's low. When I was stocking shelves at Woolworths, I tried to be the best shelf stocker there was, or at least the best that I could be. Robert and I were talking about work on Tuesday, and he told me about two guys he used to work with. One, he just knew everything already, this guy. You couldn't teach him anything. But the other was always eager to learn something new on the job. So who do you think ends up being a better worker in the end? Whose skills are actually going to develop and improve and grow with experience? And of course, Proverbs is absolutely full of instruction for us to listen to advice and learn new things, like Proverbs 12:15. "The way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice." So that's great wisdom for the workplace, too. There's heaps more in Proverbs and in the rest of the Bible about work. There's even great wisdom for specific jobs. Let me give you two examples. If any of you work in any kind of customer service, then you should take to heart and remember Proverbs 15:1. "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." And I asked my son William, he's not here today, but I asked my son William, who recognizes that show, by the way? No? Oh, man, it's one of those American ones, sorry. It's a very old show, though. Anyway, I asked William the other day what he wants to do when he grows up, and he said he wants to be a lawyer. Now, I'm not sure that he actually knows everything that lawyers do, but one thing he told me that lawyers do is they talk to other lawyers. So he knows that much, at least. Is that fair to say, Lorraine? Now, is that one of the better parts of the job or one of the worst? No, yeah, I thought so. Poor lawyers having to talk to lawyers all day, that's rough. Present company excluded, Lorraine, of course. Anyway, Proverbs 18:17 says, "In a lawsuit, the first to speak seems right until someone comes forward and cross-examines. So if William does become a lawyer or a judge or a police officer or anyone really, I hope that he'll remember that proverb. So whatever line of work you are in, whether it's paid or volunteer or housework or even it's just one of your hobbies, you should be concerned about the quality of your work and about your own character as a worker. Because our work reveals our character. So, formerly an atheist, I became a Christian in 2000. And since that time, in every workplace that I have been in, whether it's factories or shops or warehouses or whatever, my bosses and my coworkers have always known that I'm a Christian. We bear the name of our Savior when our colleagues and our teammates and our supervisors know that we are Christians. So your work and your character reflect on Him. Our work reveals our character, and both reflect on God. What does God's work reveal about His character? Stephen was talking about Acts 17 before, where Paul was in Athens. During Paul's speech in that chapter, he says several things about God's work that reflect on God's character. For example, in creation and history, God has ordered and organized things. That's His work, so that we would be able to seek Him and to find Him. That tells us something about His character. He wants to be known. God wants us to know Him. And Paul's speech ends with a statement of God's justice, that He will one day punish sin, and a reference to Jesus' resurrection, which of course is God's climactic work in His kingdom and our salvation. God sent Jesus to die for the sins of His people and to be raised to life again. God's work reveals His character, and our work reveals our character, and it reflects on God. So we want our character as workers to be like His. We want to be wise and kind and fair and hardworking and patient. Everything the Proverbs and the Bible says we should be, we want to be that at work too. God wants to be known. So what do we make known of God at work? When I was working at Woolworths, my boss died. Now, at that time, some of my coworkers wanted to talk to me about God. They all knew I was a Christian, and I got to tell them, some of them at least, a bit about my Lord. Now, if I had been a difficult coworker, if I had made their lives harder every day, if they were always picking up my slack, then I doubt very much they would have been too concerned about what I had to say. Our work reveals our character, and our character reflects on Christ. So now I'm going to leave you with my favorite work motto of all. Even though it doesn't come from Proverbs, it's from Colossians chapter 3. And while it is Paul's instructions to slaves or bondservants, it applies to other workers too. Colossians 3:23. That's my key work motto, and I hope it will be yours too. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Work is a major reality in our lives, and sometimes it is no fun. Sometimes we only do it because our lives depend on it and our families are counting on us. Proverbs 16:26 says, "The appetite of laborers works for them. Their hunger drives them on." And I certainly know that's true. But for us as the people of God in Christ, we've got an even greater reason not only to work, but to be the best workers we can be. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men.